two scoops, please. Today on Podcast Magoria. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Podcast Magoria's Halloween A to Z. I am James.
And I am Autumn.
And little ghoulies, batten down the hatches, close the drapes, lock the doors, and prepare yourselves, for we are discussing our K movie, K4 Kill Joy 2.
Whoa, James is definitely not trying to pad for time here.
Flashback 2020. The first year of the Halloween A to Z.
Uh-huh.
We reviewed a little film called Killjoy.
Yes, Killjoy the Clown.
That's right, a movie about an evil clown demon that's summoned to pretty much take out revenge on folks. He lives in this, like, Freddy Krueger-esque dream realm, fantasy realm that you can access through the back of an ice cream truck. Lots of insanity ensues. The movie, somehow, though short, is also entirely too long. We really didn't like that movie. Today, we have returned, and we are supping once again from the cup of Killjoy, the sequel.
Yeah.
Which, like all good sequels, barely has anything to do with the first film, other than having a character that happens to have the same name as a character from the first film. I think I've summed this up. All right, well, thank you for listening, guys. I'll see you later.
I mean, do we really need to say much more about Killjoy 2 besides all that?
Well, we're here for a reason, right?
We are. We are.
Oh, boy. That's why we're here, is to discuss this film coming out 2 years after the first one. Some franchises never die.
Yeah, not entirely sure why the first one, it didn't really open up this world for a sequel.
Oh boy. This movie, as far as some production stuff, in case you're wondering, and maybe this will make you forgive it a little bit. Ooh, I'm coming in hot. It only took them 2 weeks to write the script for this movie.
Yeah.
It took them 8 days to film it. And let's deal with the elephant in the room, which is, I got to get this out of the way. So the original actor for Killjoy did not return for the sequel because he decided he wanted to go to school instead. Maybe a good choice.
Yeah, good for him. The director also ended up not coming back. And yeah, it's a white lady director.
Yeah, Tammy Sutton is a director. We very rarely do we get into this kind of, this kind of gives you an idea, right? Tammy Sutton is a director. She also wrote in it. She also stars in it for a small role. She did not produce it, so she's not busting out. This isn't her Citizen Kane.
Yeah.
The actor that replaced Killjoy's original actor is Trent Haga. You may best know him for some of his work with Troma. He was in Tromeo and Juliet and also Terra Firma, which is the one that I probably know him the best from because he has the most lines in that, I think.
Yeah.
But
It's really unfortunate for him.
Because Trent is a white man. Killjoy, traditionally, at least from the first film, is a black character.
Yeah, and the way that they redesigned the Killjoy character for the second film, he's kind of a, how should I put it, James? Minstrel-y?
Yeah.
He's got the big, like, coarse hair.
Yeah.
He's got a purple and yellow suit. Yeah, he's that's very cartoonish.
Yeah. The only thing, they did change his face sculpt.
They did change the face sculpt.
Thank God. But,
so it's ambiguous, yeah, but it's still, like, the other elements of the costume are very questionable, yeah. Especially a white man wearing them.
Yeah, in all fairness to Trent Hogg, he was incredibly embarrassed by his performance in this film.
Well, I'm sorry, Trent, but you definitely should be.
I'm not going to disagree with him. However, he did end up returning for the sequels.
Yeah, why?
So, and from what I saw of the trailers for those, because we'll eventually get to those. Every 5 years, we'll do a Killjoy movie.
Okay.
That's the deal. They didn't really change the character design, so he's still kind of like black coated, like it's awkward. So,
and I do Killjoy is a pretty like big thing in the black community because it's a black horror movie.
Yeah.
And then we got Killjoy 2 coming up behind it, and yeah, it's like, ooh.
Could you imagine if, let's say, for instance, Candyman 2,
right? If they replace Candyman with a white dude,
yeah, that would be like really, really awkward. You know, same outfit and
same
stuff.
Outfit.
Same background.
Same story.
Yeah, same
story.
Like, he's still from Caprini Green and stuff. But yeah, it's like played by Will Sasso.
Oh my God.
Like, that'd be really, like, really, really awkward. I'm not saying this is as spit in your face as that, but this is still like the taste of this is a little bitter.
If you think of the layers of it, yeah, it definitely makes you feel ugh.
And so, yeah, like, the director, Tammy Sutton, she flat out, like, she was scared of doing this movie.
Yeah.
Like, she recognized the fact that the previous film was mostly black. Like, the director, mm-hmm, everybody attached to it. Like, this is, the original Killjoy was kind of an important film.
Mm-hmm.
Not great.
Not a
but
great
still,
film.
But still, it's important that it exists, right?
Yes.
Because it gave a lot of people, you know, opportunity to be in, you know, there's not a whole lot of black horror films. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's just not, without it being blaxploitation.
Right.
And that shit pretty much died out in the early 80s after the 70s. So
yeah,
it's you don't have a whole lot of that, like,
well,
in those films.
Yeah,
like,
there's stuff sprinkled in, but
I mean, it's not.
Yeah, to come in
and then
something iconic,
yeah,
to do this to it. Yeah,
yeah. So it's awkward, and I don't want to start like waving flags and making a big fuss because of the fact that the movie came out in 2002, so it's a little late to make a big deal
yeah
out of it. And also, I don't want to necessarily paint anybody that was attached to the picture in a bad light,
mm-hmm,
because I think that, like, there's nothing necessarily wrong with them. It's just that it was a weird choice by the studio,
mm-hmm,
perhaps.
They did what they could with what they were handed,
yeah,
and unfortunately what they were handed was a little distasteful.
Is this our longest intro into a movie?
I think so.
Yikes.
But luckily this movie, we're...
it barely needs to be an hour and 13 minutes.
Yeah, this... I mean, it's a very short film to begin with. There's so much in the film that has no consequence.
Yeah. Dare I ask this, Autumn?
Uh-huh.
Do we hang the whole, like, scene-by-scene thing and just kind of squash it into, like, just a condensed version of it?
Oh, yeah.
Bitch about what we need to bitch about and then go home?
Yes.
Okay. All right, folks. So some of our listeners that may have listened to earlier episodes over the years can kind of know how we feel about a movie right out of the gate. We're not doing a great job at disguising how we feel about this film, very obviously. And also some regular listeners may know when we kind of just go, let's not do the scene by scene if it's not worth doing. This one's not worth doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give us a nice little tight rundown of what happens. The movie opens with our main character getting wrongfully accused for carrying drugs. He gets arrested. Mm-hmm. Then ultimately he ends up being a part of a rehabilitation group of other prisoners. Mm-hmm. And they're going out to a property to refurbish it. How nice. It's a camp, I believe. Along the way in the, they said bus originally, it's a van.
Yes.
But in the quote bus, we see some interaction with some of the characters. They're all kind of your cookie cutter stereotypes of each kind of character.
Yeah.
You have like the whiny girl, that Cece, who's upset.
Yeah. And I'm like, what does Cece do to get into this scenario? Because she seems kind of like a goody-goody.
So I think that all of them probably were wrongfully accused.
Yeah.
I think that that's
at least maybe minor offenses for a couple of them.
For free labor. Like, I think I think that there's a narrative here that they never, ever execute because they decided that, well, we're going to go with this goofball nonsense and really bad dialogue. You see, if they would have took maybe longer to write a script, maybe they could have executed some of these concepts. Because I think, and this is what I said with the first movie, mm-hmm. I think there's a good movie here.
Yeah.
If it was just redone from the ground up.
A lot of things need to be tweaked, mm-hmm. and there can be commentaries in here.
Yeah. Because I think it could be a really good, like, because it, again, it opens with the beginning of a commentary that does not get executed whatsoever. All right. Along the way, their, quote, bus breaks down and they need to figure out what the hell they're going to do. So some of the fellas break off with one of the officers to find some help. They make it out to a trailer. This is where things go really sideways, really fast.
Yeah, because the person who owns the trailer is your stereotypical white hillbilly that's coming out, just sees these four black dudes standing mm-hmm. out, starts blasting.
Yeah. Now, in all fairness, and I hate to defend
yes,
this kind of situation.
But it is like the very middle of the night.
And one of them breaks into the house.
Yeah.
Also, the racist white lady character is played by the director and writer. So it's almost like when Quentin Tarantino writes himself into a movie and gets to say the N-word. You know, it's just it's also a shame that the character that gets shot is the only one that I actually liked out of the entire film.
I know.
So that was a bummer because he was the funny guy.
Yeah, we got rid of the good comic relief.
Yes, because everybody else is kind of like, I don't know, I don't get it.
Notice I said good comic relief.
Yeah.
Not great comic relief.
No. And you would almost think that Killjoy, and he'll get here shortly, he's actually just outside. I gave him a call.
Oh, good. Great. Yeah,
sorry. But it's not like he's working. Yeah, like Killjoy, I suppose, would be the other comic relief inexplicably, but we'll get to his scenes here shortly. They bring the guy that gets shot back to the bus while the officer goes off to try to get a hold of somebody for the emergency. They're on a mountain, so they don't have a good signal.
Yeah.
So none of their phones are working.
Yeah, it's the early 2000s, so that's very plausible.
I don't think I ever saw him pull the antenna up. Did he even try that?
Did he even try the antenna?
Did he try the aluminum foil trick?
It's like he did it on purpose.
Right.
They do end up trying to get help for their friend that's been shot, and they find another house, and we're introduced to another character who ends up a little hippy-dippy, it turns out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I wouldn't describe it as hippy-dippy because she's actually voodoo, but yeah. At first, you don't know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're just like, this lady's kind of holistic. This is weird.
Yeah, of all the houses, right? So they're just like, oh, you gotta help. And she's like, well, I'm not necessarily a doctor, but I can do this ritual to try to help them and all that. And some of the folks don't believe it. Some of the folks do.
Yeah, so they're just like, well, why not give it a try? And mm-hmm. some folks are like, well, he's gonna die.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah, what's the harm, I guess? She does this, and I don't know, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
None of this stuff ever works. There's no such thing as magic. Or at least so you're led to believe. However, inexplicably, one of the other girl characters ends up, out of nowhere, tells the legend of Killjoy.
Yeah.
And describes the plot of the first film, more or less.
Yeah, which, okay, good little rundown of what we know if you watch the first movie.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they decide to go summon Killjoy.
Yeah, her and our main character, they go out into the woods.
And folks, this is kind of the pace of the movie.
Yeah.
We aren't exaggerating. I mean, I know we're kind of flying through it, but
that's kind of how it is.
This is literally how it goes.
If you in between our sentences inserted people walking in the dark.
Yeah, and non-consequential lines of dialogue.
Yeah, yeah, realistically, to have nothing to do with anything. And then the summoning of Killjoy seemingly doesn't work.
Hmm.
And Chris, our main character, I haven't said his name yet.
We haven't said any character's name.
Oh, I said Cece.
Oh, yeah.
but anyway, he's just like, oh, well, that didn't work. And they end up having sex, him and the other girl, because reasons. But they don't see anything. You don't, and that's another aspect of the movie is, so originally the movie was supposed to have nudity in it, but the director also wrote that out. We don't even have that going for this.
Yeah, the first one had all that sexy sex in it.
Yeah.
This one's only alluding to it.
That's right. We don't see anything.
Although I will say I'm glad I didn't see it because why are these characters having sex?
It doesn't make sense. Unfortunately, it turns out the spell did work. Killjoy appears and, oh man.
When Killjoy appears, it is just one scene after scene after scene after scene after scene.
Yeah.
Showing his shenanigans.
Yeah. And also, did you notice that every time that Killjoy is on screen, it's filmed weird?
It is.
It's like digitally zoomed in most of the time. Were they not actually, when they were filming his scenes, did they have to go back and refilm his scenes because he did just an awful job?
Mm.
And two, was it because he wasn't actually in the location they were supposed to be? So that's why they had to zoom in on his face so you can't see the background because he's probably not even in the woods?
They might have had to go back and redo, close-up scenes and stuff like that because they realized they didn't have enough footage.
Yeah, God. Yeah, because, okay, so Killjoy, not that I'm asking for him to be in the movie more.
But
also, we could use a little bit more of Killjoy, if that makes sense.
This is nearly halfway into the film by the time we're getting to this, too.
And I mean, some other movies do that. For instance, Beetlejuice.
Right.
He doesn't show up until 40 minutes into the film.
And he's barely in it, too.
Yeah, he's 17 minutes total.
Yeah.
Totally worth it. But also really well written.
It works for it.
Killjoy, you're both begging for them to take him off the screen, but also needing him to be around more so he can make more sense. He kills each character in his goofball ways. With the first girl, he ends up killing her by taking out his teeth and making him chattering teeth and putting him through the hole of an outhouse and the teeth eat her alive. Neat.
Okay, cool. We don't see it.
No, we don't see it.
We don't see the teeth eating her.
Another character gets killed by Killjoy. He ends up pushing him onto a pipe and then does the water spigot.
Yeah.
And then blood comes out of the water, which doesn't, that's not how that would have worked.
No.
And I can't for the life of me remember any of Killjoy's dialogue. Now, part of that might be because of the fact I couldn't understand what the fuck he was saying half the time.
I couldn't understand what he was saying half the time if he wasn't giggling.
Oh, my God.
Which, I mean, that makes sense because he's a crazy clown.
But he's not a good giggler.
No.
He's like, it's just that for way too long where it's like, What's happening in this scene? Because there's after he kills the first girl, he's just kind of shambling in the dark, making giggling sounds for a really long time.
Yeah.
You can actually see Trent getting uncomfortable.
I feel like it's about 80% of his dialogue.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, my assumption here is that a lot of his performance was supposed to be ad-libbed, and he just wasn't feeling it. And the funny wasn't happening for him, which is kind of what you need for this kind of character. I mean, look at Warwick Davis as Leprechaun, busting out crazy ass lines. Most of his dialogue in Leprechaun movies, it's him. It's he wrote it, or he ad-libbed it on the set.
Yeah, and it's clever and funny. And thank you, Lub Dan.
Yes, thank you, Lub. That's the thing. While watching this movie, I'm going, I would gladly take Leprechaun in Space over this moment.
If a gun was to my head and they asked me Killjoy 2 or Leprechaun in Space, I would be like, please, for the love of God, put on Leprechaun in Space. And that would be the only time I would utter that sentence.
For real. Yeah. Yeah. Like, because this is god awful. Now, if they said Killjoy 2 or Evil Bong, I would press my head as hard as I could against the gun and say, pull the trigger.
God, that would be an awful decision. Oh.
I'd probably go for Evil Bong.
I would probably go for, the first Evil Bong. Just because at least it has boobies in it.
It's got boobies. It has a lot of throwback character references.
Yeah, I get to see some little...
Tommy Chong shows up.
Yeah, I get to see some full moon guest appearances of character. So I'm happy with Evil Bong.
Right.
Comparatively.
Yeah. The lady in the house that knows all the... does the spiritual stuff. She, by the way, had sensed that Killjoy has returned. And it's just like, you guys got to watch out. Killjoy is out there. And
why does she have a connection to Killjoy like that?
I guess it's just magic. It's just magic.
It's voodoo. Thank you. It's not magic. It's voodoo.
So she has the voodoo shining, I guess. Like, is that?
I guess.
Oh, boy. The lady officer, Martinez, played by Debbie Rochon, by the way, who is a legend and Trauma.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that it was her.
Yeah, she's in just a ton of movies, usually leaning more into the sexy stuff.
Yeah.
She's probably relieved that she didn't have to take her top off for this film.
She usually does a pretty darn good job.
I love her. She's schlocky horror royalty.
Yes.
And even her line delivery in this film is pretty rough. I don't know a whole lot about what happened on the set of this film, but it just feels like everybody's having a real hard time getting through their dialogue, and it really takes away from I can't even finish that. I was gonna say it really takes away from this film. It wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah, nothing. You can't take anything else away from this film, to be honest.
Yeah. Kaja, I'm going to start throwing out names. Kaja, the voodoo lady, is just like, we have to do this ritual to get rid of Killjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're trying to get this done, and Killjoy takes care of her no problem. Like the ritual does not get completed the way you would expect it to. And then it's just Killjoy running around more, attacking everybody and such.
Yeah, there's not even really any fun kills or anything after this point. It literally is a bunch of just kind of running around. It is just so pointless.
Yeah, at some point in time, Kaja is making like these magic jars.
Right.
That have various fluids in it that I guess are going to be used to fight Killjoy. So Charlotte ends up getting a hold of the jars of the magic fluid that Kaja had so kindly prepared to defeat Killjoy. And bing, bang, boom, basically, throws the jar. It melts Killjoy. Old officer that we thought had died earlier, he shows back up. Everybody's happy. It kind of just tied. Was this a fever dream?
It really feels like it, because I just can't believe how fast everything works.
Yeah. And everybody just kind of it's just like Killjoy shows up, kills a couple people in very unimaginative ways.
They say a lot of stuff that just like,
Doesn't matter.
It's a regurgitation of like voodoo stuff.
Yeah.
But also a lot of stuff that just does not matter to the plot or like why are we listening to this? Yeah,
there's no conviction behind the lines.
Oh no, none at all.
Like nobody gives a shit.
No.
And then like you just don't really get a good payoff for this.
No. My verdict is this movie is a freaking waste of time.
Yeah, I agree. Because it abruptly ends. It was hard to get through for such a short film.
Yeah, we were drooling practically. Yeah. We're like, ooh, only an hour and 13 minutes.
Yeah.
Hooray.
Yeah.
We had fun with the first Killjoy, even though it wasn't good.
Exactly.
We'll have fun with this. We love Killjoy.
No.
No.
No, this was awful.
No.
I don't care how free it is to watch this movie. Do not watch this film.
Yeah, if you've watched the first one and you kind of enjoyed it, good for you.
Maybe skip to the third one.
Just stay with the first one. We don't even know what the third one's like. Don't give them that idea, James.
Oh, well, they'll have to wait 5 more years to hear about the third one.
Maybe by the time they got to the third one, they got their shit together. I want to believe a Killjoy movie can be fun and good.
Well, they add a lot of extra clowns in the third one.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, because he has a crew now.
And it has more production value, it looks like.
It's very clear that they tried to fix whatever went wrong. It's got a different director.
That's right.
It's got a different writer.
So maybe the third one is good.
Hey, and maybe it won't take 5 years to get to the third one. We'll see. But yeah, please don't even bother with this one.
No.
It's in that very rare collection of movies where it's so bad it's bad. And considering the fact that the guy that played the titular Killjoy is embarrassed by this film, maybe take his advice on that.
I'm just like, I feel like the first Killjoy, he actually had like kind of iconic lines, had some funny jokes. This one, where's all the funny?
Yeah, it was just not fun.
There wasn't even any funny kills or anything.
Yeah, because Killjoy, he is supposed to be, like a Lubdan, a Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
You know, any of those other, like, funny killers.
And, okay, so his kills in the first one are kind of magical in a way.
Yes. Oh, there's no magic.
Yeah. I get that they were probably trying to lean into that with the teeth killing the girl and him using the water pump, but it just didn't make sense with the water pump. And since we don't even see the girl get eaten by the teeth, like it's useless.
Yeah. I never in a million years thought that I would miss the nonsense concept of the first film.
Right.
I was begging this movie by the end, please bring me the ice cream truck.
Yeah, we don't even get to see Killjoy's fun, whimsical world in this one.
No.
And I mean, it's not like it was spectacular in the first one.
It's so bad.
But come on, we could have painted a wall green at least.
Right? Yeah, the lighting in this movie is awful.
Very bad. Our TV's already so bad with dark films.
Yeah.
But this was mostly filmed at night.
Yeah. And also, I will say, though, that movies made before, like, I'd say roughly 2012, dark scenes don't get completely blackened out.
Yeah, because they're blue.
Yeah. This movie, it was just that, I guess, they couldn't afford the lighting.
Yeah.
And so it's
and
just
probably they only had permits to be filming at night.
Yeah, if they had permits.
Oh, my God.
They might have been Ed Wooding this. And this is the thing, is I don't want to... Full Moon is kind of an easy target.
It is.
Because a lot of their movies aren't exactly the greatest in quality and stuff. But a lot of their movies, though, where they lack in quality, they make up for in humor and just kind of being a carnival ride.
Yeah.
And this is a broken down, abandoned amusement park.
There is no fun to be had whatsoever. No. Now, here's your ultimate question, James.
Oh, God.
Gun to your head.
Okay.
Since we're on Full Moon.
Yeah.
Killjoy 2 or Jigsaw? Gun to your head.
Oh, my God.
Audience, not talking about good Jigsaw. Yeah. We're talking about Full Moon's Jigsaw.
Last year's Jigsaw. Ooh, man.
another kind of pointless
pull
movie.
Pull the trigger, man.
Pull the trigger.
Pull the trigger. I'll do it. I'll do it myself. Like, can I pull out a secret gun and just... because that's no.
That one's yeah. That's a tough choice.
I'll tell you what. I would take Jigsaw because because
at least you can rework the movie in your head. Killjoy 2.
Killjoy 2 is. It's,
I don't think I can make that a better movie.
I don't think I can make like no because that's what we usually do for movies like with Jigsaw and a handful of other ones that we thought were just too bad to watch, which isn't too many. We need to actually collect. A list. And say, and like, be
these
the
are the
unwatchable,
blacklisted films.
Do not watch these films. but most of the time, whenever we get on our rants about how shitty a film is, we can go, well, this is what, if they just removed this, this, or this, or they added in yada, yada, yada. And this one is like, yeah, the beginning of it opens with, obviously, we're trying to have a narrative, but it is so quickly abandoned.
It is.
It has nothing to do with it. It's merely to get him, to get Chris into the situation's end, which they didn't even really need to do. Why couldn't it have been a group of friends? Why couldn't it just been the tired concept of a group of friends, their vehicle breaks down, and then they run into a voodoo priestess, and then hilarity ensues.
Yeah, because like, it's Killjoy.
Yeah.
I will say also the first little chunk of the film where it's him getting arrested and him getting the briefing on what they're supposed to be doing, that is filmed so completely different from the rest of the film.
Almost with a different camera.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So, not really sure what's going on there.
I don't know what's happening in this film. And like, there's not, it's not like there's a whole lot of information about it, because it's not like anybody gave a shit.
Yeah, no, I was honestly surprised that the plot is actually on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Because usually when a movie is way too bad or way too, like, underground independent like this, there's, you're not going to find anything on that Wikipedia. But the plot is up, so, and you'll see if you read.
Yeah, yeah. you will actually see that we didn't really skip anything, which is insane because audience, I'll pull back the curtain of production. I didn't look at my notes pretty much at all for this entire episode.
Yeah.
It was just me ranting about how shit it is. So, okay, I can't say it enough. Do not watch this film. Do anything else of your time. Mm-hmm. Don't. We only have a small amount of time on this earth, and there may or may not be anything past the inky blackness of death. Don't waste the very little amount of sand you have in your hourglass on this film. It's bad enough you're listening to this episode and wasting that time listening to us complain about this shitty movie.
Yeah, you can do so much more in an hour and 13 minutes than watch this film.
Yeah, make some muffins. Cook some muffins.
Yeah.
That's my recommendation.
Instead
of watching this film, make some muffins.
And that will be way more useful than the production of this film.
Yeah, unless you have an allergy to gluten, then, you know, whoops.
So sorry to everybody involved.
Yeah, I'm so, like, because, all right, like, typically, I will pull my punches because I don't like to... like destroy anybody that's because making movies is hard,
but I do feel like a lot of it was them putting themselves in the situation that they did,
and
just such that short amount of time for production, no wonder this movie turned out the way that it did.
And Full Moon, I mean, they churn that shit out quick, but I think they usually have a little bit more of a realized concept. And this wasn't even half-baked. This was unbaked.
I feel like maybe they were trying to still ride the coattails of Killjoy 1. It was popular.
It was a popular rental.
It was a popular rental. Yes. And like, I do know that like it's always been a popular movie to make fun of.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely a party film to make fun of. This doesn't have that allure.
No.
Yeah, sorry guys. We're just rambling about how shitty this is. All right, that brings us to the end of this episode.
This is probably one of our shortest episodes.
It's pretty close.
But it's a short film, so I mean... How much can we say that this is a shitty film?
Yeah, yeah. So, all right. That brings us to the end. This episode of Podcast Magoria's Halloween A to Z. Sorry, guys. Our next episode is our L episode. L for Lord of Illusions.
Yay!
Hey-o. Okay, so things are already looking up.
Hooray!
So we'll see how we feel about that one next time. Until next time, if you find yourselves... No, you know what? Don't find yourselves anywhere close to anything that has to do with any of this nonsense. Just do yourself a favor and stay spooky. Bye-bye.
Blah, blah, blah.
Bye.
This is so weird. Oh. This was such a short episode.
Turn in the punch bowl, folks. You've been listening to Podcast Megoria, hosted by Autumn Campbell and James Davis, theme by James Davis. Like what you heard, be sure to follow us wherever you get podcasts. Be sure to check out our social media and TikTok for additional content and spooky previews for future projects. And as always, stay spooky.